people who are biting their fingers in fear.
Changing is not easy, but changing your life, changing habits, reinventing yourself.
Yeah.
You will win if you don't quit. Even a broke clock is right twice a day.
It's an experience. This is the Kairos Moment with Pastor Jack on Active FM.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the Kairos Moment on Active FM. It's so good to be with you wherever you are listening from, whichever part of the world you're listening from. My name is Jack Chirwa. I'm the pastor of the Full Gospel Church of God in Johannesburg South in South Africa. And it's such an honor and a privilege for me to just bring a little bit of inspiration in your life. I don't know what you're going through right now, but let's start off by praying, opening in a word of prayer, and then we'll go from there. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I want to thank you for this beautiful opportunity that you've given me to do this interview. I pray, Father God, that as we chat with my guest in studio, I pray that you would speak to every heart that is listening and that you would just minister to them in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. So in studio, I've got a friend, a colleague, a brother, hallelujah. His name is Dietmar Müller. He's all the way from Durban. I knew him from Durban, but he's also been all over the country. He's an evangelist by calling. He's serving God, but he's also a businessman. And this is what makes it very interesting. So he's got one foot in ministry serving God, but he's also a businessman. So I just want to welcome him in studio. Good morning, Dietmar. It's good to see you. How are you doing?
Hey, Pastor Jack. Thank you for such a wonderful introduction. It's great to be here with you. It's an absolute honor, a privilege to be here with you. And I mean, I've always looked up to you, you know, the man of God that you are, how you are ministering and pastoring your church. So for me to have to be interviewed by you, it's a tremendous honor. And for the listeners, I hope that this really inspires them, it changes them. And if there are folks here tonight that's in a pitfall and they feel that, you know, they've got nowhere to go, may our message to you today bring you hope and an opportunity and inspiration that you're not at the end.
Absolutely.
There's more to life than this.
Amen. I love that. There's more to life than what you're going through. Whatever you're going through, I want you to quit what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. Stop all the distractions right now. And I need you to sit and listen to this because you will love this. This is real life. So let's start off by asking the question, Dietmar. Who is Dietmar Müller? Who are you? Where were you born? How did you grow up? Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yes, Pastor Jack. So I was born in Pretoria, and my dad actually walked out on us when I was 6 years old. Sure. He left us when I was six, and I've actually just saw him once a year, and that was for our birthday. Wow. Then apart from that, my mother, who was a police officer, she was an administration at the police station. She had to look after three kids, and she never had the finance to actually look after us. Many times in our childhood years, we stayed with other parents. We stayed with other households. I remember when my dad left us, we actually stayed in a garage. So we took a single garage. We partitioned it in two by a curtain. So my mom would stay on the one end, and me and my other two brothers will stay on the other side. And then from there, we moved to a small town called Delmas, where I finished my high school. And even at that point, I stayed in a friend's house, stayed with friends, and we never really had our own place until we went into high school. There, because of a lack of a father figure, and knowing now what I did not know back then was my mom was also emotional scarred. So we grew up in a broken home where there was no love. We didn't know what love was. We didn't know what love feels like. And more than that, we had no father figure. We had no mentor, no guidance. And so for me personally, I always wanted to be the best in whatever I do. And I remember in school, the idea I've had of success was to be popular. Yeah. So then in school, I was drinking a lot. I tried to be the class clown because I wanted that acceptance. I wanted to experience love. And that's the only way I interpreted love back then was that type of attention. And I thought if I am the best drinker I will be recognized or I'll be accepted. So I drank a lot through school and not knowing that it actually was not good for me. The path I was about to go on after school was very bad. And I remember when I finished school, I was so used to drinking that when I started getting a salary, the first thing we would do is go out and drink every weekend, every day. We'll just go out because that was the person I started to become without even knowing it. And at that time, after school, now I have no guidance of a father figure.
Yeah.
And I remember when I finished school, I said there was an opportunity to go work for my dad, to get to know my dad. And I went to go work for him for 2 years. But that was a very hard time for me working for my dad because he was very abusive. And not knowing your dad at all growing up and meeting him for the first time after school and then to see he's not the role model that you expected, he's not that father figure, that really hurt emotionally. And I then left. I left Nelspruit and I then went to Pretoria. Funny enough, what a lot of people don't know is that in 2012, I needed a father. And I said, God, I need a father. It was within 2 months that he took me out and he took me to Pretoria. And there I had a very bad time. I rode 2 cars off because I was drinking. I was even locked up in a holding cell the one Sunday night because of alcohol. And that was, the biggest pitfall in my life as a young 20. I was 22, 23 at that stage.
If I can interrupt you there, because you've already mentioned some of the key areas of pitfalls in your life. If perhaps you can then highlight some of those worst pitfalls. I heard you speak about the fact that you were growing up without a father. I would say that that was one of your first pitfalls. Growing up without a father, can you just highlight to us some of those other pitfalls in your life that you think caused life to be as terrible as what it was?
Yes, absolutely. So, without a father, because I had no father, I had wrong friends. So the influence that led to engraving pentagrams on my arms, and having black eyeliner, listening to heavy metal music, and cutting myself, that led to cutting myself on my forearms. I actually, when I was in high school, because of depression, I engraved a pentagram on my forearm.
Now, Dietmar, that is important because you are in ministry. I'm in ministry. We are always dealing with cases of young people cutting themselves, and there might be young people listening to the program now, and maybe they cut themselves. They don't even understand why they do it. I think it's very interesting that you've highlighted that.
And the reason why I did that was because I felt rejected. I felt alone. I felt like I'm not loved.
But what does the pain do for you when you cut yourself? How does it make you feel?
It makes it numbs the pain. It numbs the loneliness. It is not just that, but it feels like I deserve the pain. I need to experience that pain because it's my life. That is what it felt like. And that being said, what drove that was alcohol. Because now I'm in school and I stayed in an outbuilding in the back of the in the yard and I would drink and I'll drink. And then I'm being tormented in my mind to say I'm not good enough. I don't deserve this life. And then I'll cut myself to numb that pain. To take away the pain that's in my heart for that moment and draw it towards the pain that's going on my arm.
Wow, amazing. And the fact that you grew up without a father, you know, Dietmar, I also grew up without a father. I've always said that whether you like it or not, you get affected as a young person, not having that father figure in your life. So it's very interesting that you've spoken about that. Tell us a little bit more about some of the other worst pitfalls that you had in your life.
The worst pitfall I would say I had was when... it was that Sunday night when my dad came and visited me in Centurion. It was one of the local artists. He's a very well-known local South African singer. and it was his birthday. Mm. And my dad invited me there, and that was a point where I said, you know, I want to change. It was at that point in my heart, I said, there's got to be more to life than this.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to my father that I don't drink anymore. Mm. I've decided to stop drinking. And he was yet encouraging me, have one beer.
Really?
I'm your dad. I came all the way from Nelspruit. Drink with me.
Wow.
And I then did that.
Wow.
And the pitfall was that night, I was so drunk. I went and laid in my car. I slept, and I got up, and I was under the impression it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm. Meantime, it's 7 o'clock at night on a Sunday, and it's in Pretoria, so there's a lot of cars, and I hit the back of a taxi.
Sure.
I hit full on. I passed out behind the steering wheel, and I hit the back of a taxi, and luckily that taxi was empty. But I remember waking up and the airbags exploded, and I looked around me and I couldn't find my phone, and I felt alone for the first time in my life. I really, really felt alone. Mm. The police came, and I said to him, I was like 100 meters away from my house when this happened.
Yeah.
I said, I'm just around the corner. I said, no, we'll take you there. But they went, they drew blood, and then they locked me up that night. And sure. I said to him, before you lock me up, let me make one phone call. And I wanted to phone my dad, and his phone was off.
Mm.
And there was a big life lesson that I learned, that the people that you surround yourself with impact the direction you are going.
Mm.
And the one that encouraged me to drink and party with them, they were not there when I was at the lowest point in my life.
Yes.
It was just me and myself. Mm. And that, to me, today was, I think, the biggest pitfall in my life.
Mm.
Was in 2014.
Wow. And Dietmar, tell us generally now, what is life without Christ? So what you've narrated to us is a young person who is growing up without Christ. Would you like to highlight to us and just paint the picture? What is life without Christ? Because a lot of people think, man, I've got the money, I've got the good job, I've got a good career going for me, I've got a girlfriend, I've got this and I've got that. Why must I worry about Christ? So just paint a picture for us. What does life without Christ look like?
It's empty.
Mm.
It's empty. Mm. There's that void that no money can fill it. Mm. No treasure can fill it. Mm. No amount of alcohol can take that away.
Mm.
It's like when you get married, you find your soulmate.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is your soulmate.
Mm.
And you can go through life, do whatever you want to do, but he's that last piece of the puzzle that needs to go into the center of where your heart is.
Mm.
He fits that mold. Sure. And without him, you will, like the Bible says, you'll chase after treasures of this earth and you will not receive the joy.
Mm.
I can gather all the treasures of this earth and I can be empty.
Mm.
And that's what it felt like to me.
Sure.
Without Jesus, but there was an emptiness that nothing could fill. Nothing could fill. And I was pursuing that. I was pursuing that through drinking.
Yes.
I was pursuing that emptiness through trying to be accepted by people. I was pursuing that empty by trying to become a successful businessman without Christ. And whichever way I went, I failed.
Sure.
Whichever way I went, that void wasn't filled. So my one word to you, Pastor Jack, without Christ, it's emptiness.
Wow, wow. You're listening to the Kairos Moment, and I'm doing an interview with, I call him Evangelist Dietmar Müller. He's not very much into titles. He doesn't mind me calling him, addressing him by the first name. But this is important, people. This is important. Whoever you are, wherever you are, life without Christ is empty. And he's told us a little bit about his upbringing and his story, how he grew up. And everything he did was trying to fill the void, the emptiness. Because all of us, every human being has an emptiness on the inside of them. And they're looking for either love, they're looking for acceptance, And as we have heard, that he grew up without a father, same as my background. I also grew up without a father. I also grew up feeling rejected. If perhaps I would like to just ask Dietmar to just go a little bit into detail and speak about the rejection itself, the feeling of rejection in your life. What did that do to you?
Pastor Jack, the rejection of life made me feel that I'm not good enough. Mm. Like, it made me also not want to take risks. Mm. It made me also not want to be myself, to be the person that God sees me, the person that God sees me that I am. Not to come out of my shell. And the rejection of, I will just, wherever you are, if you accept me, if you're a bad influence, not, I'll go with that. If you don't mind me sharing another pitfall story, was because of that rejection, I went with friends. I'll never forget this day. It was in Hatfield, Hatfield Square. We used to go there every weekend. We'll drink, and because of the influences of people, I was accepted by the type of people. We went on that night. We wanted to get weed.
Sure.
Yeah. And I remember going around drinking, and now I'm a target. And this is another thing that I've learned, is that I'm in the, right there and then, I'm in the kingdom of the devil.
Yes.
And he kills and destroys.
Mm.
And that's another part of my life without Christ, is that you're being abused and thrown around like a dirty rag by the devil.
Mm.
And that night I went and I was looking for weed, and this guy came up to me, and I don't know how he knew, but he approached me, and he said, "Do you want some weed?" And I said, "Yes, yes, please, can I have some?" And he bumped into me, and he saw me as a victim because I was so intoxicated that he then took advantage of me, and he gave me a plastic bag, a rolled up brown paper bag, and said, "It's in here." And I don't remember how much money I gave him, but I gave him money and I took that. And I went around a corner to open it. And when I opened it, it was nothing.
It was nothing.
It was newspaper that was rumbled up into one bowl, and there was nothing in it.
Wow.
Worse than that, I then tried to take my phone to phone my friends, and I realized my phone is gone.
Wow.
So this guy bumped into me. Because I was intoxicated, I didn't know that he just pickpocketed me. He took my phone. And because I didn't know at that time it was taken, I went home with my friends. I went to my friend's house. I slept. And I thought, okay, maybe the whole night when I couldn't feel my phone, I thought, okay, maybe I left it in the car. Maybe it's at home. And when I woke up that morning, I still couldn't find my phone. And no one knew where my phone was. So I then reported it stolen. But that night, From that night to the next morning, the guy that took my phone spent 10,000 rand of airtime, because that phone was under contract.
Oh, my word.
10,000 rand that I had to pay back to the service provider.
Mm.
And because the contract says that I am responsible for it, no matter...
So it was an open contract?
It was an open contract.
My goodness.
An open contract, and the guy spent 10,000 rand on SMSs.
Wow.
And all those SMSs were lucky draws, like lottery.
Yeah.
And I remember fighting with the service provider saying it was not my fault. And they said, "Well, it's not what your contract says. Your contract says you take full responsibility for it, even if your phone gets stolen." Mm. And at that age of 22, 10,000 rand is a lot of money. And I didn't have that money. So I had to go and take out a loan and pay that money to the service provider.
Mm.
And that was another pitfall of the form of rejection, the influences that I went with, the bad influences, that in the kingdom of Satan, he destroys you more and more. And a lot of people don't see this. They think, okay, I'm drinking and now I lose money.
Exactly.
Or I write my car off, or my phone gets stolen, or there's relationship problems.
Yeah.
But the demon that's involved there, that addiction is what brings that destruction. Because people think that when you and I, Pastor, when we preach and evangelize, saying there's the Satan of this on this earth, he comes out to kill, seek, and destroy. And people think, well, you're making it up. They don't understand that he does this in stages.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen right now. He looks for a vulnerable soul. and then he latches on you, and slowly but surely he'll lead you to suicide.
Exactly.
He leads you to car accidents, exactly. Alcoholism, kidney failures.
Mm.
All these things are a result of him.
Mm.
And that was a major pitfall in my life. And even, again, going through that,
yeah.
I didn't call out to God.
Sure.
I was blinded by this by the prince of this world, thinking, this is life.
Exactly.
This is what happens.
Exactly.
And again, that's what I experienced without Christ.
Wow. And isn't it interesting, Dietmar, that you are lured into this lifestyle with a group of friends, but the moment you get into trouble, they're not there. I mean, when you are arrested by the police and you are locked up in the cell, your friends were not there. When you lose your phone and you're fighting with a service provider about this huge amount that you need to pay, your friends were not there. And yet when these things, you know, when you were indulging in all these things, your friends were there to kind of incite you to go for it and to do these things. And yet when you get into trouble, they're not there.
Yes, and that is the part of rejection. Because you walk around feeling rejected and these type of people accept you, you think it's acceptance, but what they actually are doing is they're toying with you, they're mocking you, they're abusing you, they're using you, and you are okay with it because you feel accepted.
Sure.
And I will never forget that I've had a friend that that I took in,
yeah.
that I thought was my friend, and I started hanging out with them, and we'll go out drinking and go to clubs.
Yeah.
And just the one day, they turned around and threw me away.
Sure.
Just like that. So we don't want you here anymore.
Mm.
We don't want you around us.
Mm.
And then I left. And the thing is, because I grew up in this environment,
yeah.
for me that felt normal.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing I knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's life.
Yeah.
Go on to the next crowd of similar people, because the person that I was, I attracted. Go into the next crowd, getting accepted by them, only to see the same results later on.
Sure.
It was a constant circle of damage, damage, damage.
Exactly.
Because of the, yeah, no father, wrong friends, one thing led to another. It's so important, you know, to have the right guidance from a very young age.
Absolutely. The last question I would like us to discuss, Dietmar, is the same way we say about God, that God is no respecter of persons. I would like to say that the enemy, Satan, is no respecter of persons. Satan doesn't care whether you're white. He doesn't care whether you're black. He doesn't care whether you're Indian. He doesn't care whether you're colored. He doesn't care what type of background you come from. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Mm.
Can we talk about that for a while? I mean, it's not because you are black that you go through the stuff that you go through. It's not because of your color of your skin. Mm. It's not because of your status or your background. But it's because we've allowed the enemy to do these things to us.
Mm. Mm. 100%. It's like God, like you say, and he doesn't look at your color.
Right.
You're a soul.
Mm.
You as a person are valued to God. God has placed in a tremendous high value on your life, and Satan wants to destroy that.
Mm.
And a lot of people will then go and say, yeah, no, it's because of my upbringing, or I never had these privileges, or... whatever the case may be, but it's not.
That's right.
It's if there's only two kingdoms. It's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Mm. And both these kingdoms, God loves you.
Yeah.
The devil does not.
Yeah.
And like you say, he doesn't care about what your race is or what your upbringing is or what happened to your dad or your mother.
Right.
He comes and kills and destroys.
Mm.
And as long as you are in his kingdom, that is going to be the fruit that you will bear. It's only when you get Christ that you experience a whole new sight to life. It's literally like the Bible says, your eyes are open. You
That's
see
right.
the kingdom of God. You enter into the kingdom of God.
Mm.
And then when you come into the kingdom of God, there you see. It was never about my color of my skin. It was never because of my race, my upbringing, because I'm white, Indian, black, or Chinese.
Mm.
It is because I'm a soul. And God loves that soul.
That's right.
And I'm a soul, and the devil wants to destroy that soul.
Wow.
And
wow.
There's no, it's just one. That's just, it's amazing how good God is. All I can say is God is awesome.
Amen. And Dietmar, I'm going to ask you to pray. For whoever is listening to the program right now, wherever they are, just say a prayer for them, and then we're going to follow up with your interview next week, where we're going to look at your turning point. But would you please pray?
Awesome. Father God, we come to you in the precious and wonderful name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we are praying for everyone that's listening to this. Father God, if there's someone that's sitting here and saying, you know what, I don't completely understand what they are talking about, but I want to experience this Jesus that they are referring to. Lord, I pray that you will go enter into their hearts, reveal yourself to them, Lord. If there are people that are sitting here tonight, I can relate to what I'm going through, what he went through, and I want that change. I want you to just open up your heart and to allow Jesus to come into your heart, to allow Jesus to change you and say, Lord, even though I don't understand everything, I allow you to come into my life and change my life. We pray for people that are battling with addictions, that have suicidal thoughts. I pray, Jesus, that you'll just touch their hearts. Renew them right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Give them that hope. Give them that comfort, Lord. Comfort them in the time that they are in. And Father God, I pray for everyone that's listening to this, this conversation, this interview, Lord, that you will bless them in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Beloved, this has been the Kairos Moment on the Active FM. It is so much of a privilege to have my friend and my brother, Dietmar Müller. We're going to have him again next week, so please don't miss out. He's going to talk about the turning point. There's so much else that he's going to talk about, the achievements in his life, how God has been able to bless him and raise him up. And so please don't miss out next week, Tuesday. God bless you.
My song, praising my Savior.